Yeah, hello, Bob, and hope everything's all right with you. I just wanted to put my call in and get on the list. K-E-A-J-O-Y from KK4WH. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, let me get started. So, CQCQ, this is K-A-H-J-O-Y with the Saturday night, the Great Liberty Net. Looking for checks. I've already got three here. Looking for more. Up there. Hello, Mr. Biddle, hello, Mr. Larry, and hello, Mr. Frank. So let me see who else I've got out here. CQCQ looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. CQCQ looking for check-ins for the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Let me open the door. I've got Miss Laura in there, and I got Mr. Christopher, both of them monitoring. So, good evening to all participants on this 75-year Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest running and only convention discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of its conception, 1974, by Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great Saturday Night Liberty Net. Let me open the door by reading the first verse of our national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early night what so proudly we hailed at twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say that the Star-Spangled Banner yet waves o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave, with a question mark. And it, the way our White House is going, I'm a little afraid about that. So I'm going to listen and see if we have anybody else before I open up. So look for check-ins for this Saturday Night Liberty Net. CQCQ, this is KHOY. Say the call letter again phonetically.
Got some guy down on 3944 saying he's running a Liberty Net too. You might want to check it out.
Well, the 1944, that would be the Pyrite.
Roger, roger.
November 8, Kilo, I think you said Romeo, Quebec, correct? Kilo Lima, Quebec. Well, I wrote it down wrong every time. Let me correct that. All righty, sir. Thank you. Well, let me open the door. Good evening to everyone. I have an article from Epic Times to get this craziness started. That a county in Indiana is the first state to bar school resource officers from carrying guns. A school board in Indiana this week voted to bar school resource officers from carrying a weapon. The first time such rule has happened in the state of Indiana. The Monroe County Commission of School Corporation Board of Trustees made the decision after two members delivered monologues against guns, including one who falsely claimed that no school resource officer in the U.S. has ever stopped a shooting by discharging his or her weapon. This has been, she's saying by quoting, there's been no instance where a school resource officer prevented a school shooting with the discharge of a weapon. She is citing this from the Harvard Civil Rights Civil Liberties Law Review. In searching, the Epic Times found that at least three times a school resource officer shot their weapon to stop a student who was armed. This is another quote from another great person. I think that really goes into my decision as well, that statistically speaking, however, the school resource officers are functioning, weapons are not an essential part of that. I've also heard people say that law enforcement officers shouldn't have a weapon when they do a traffic stop. Tell the officer from New Mexico that was gunned down there. This person is continuing by saying, I can't imagine how much fear that might cause for teenagers to know that sort of thing is present in a situation, in a firearm. One of the school board people said, I'm not naive necessarily, and perhaps even I understand somewhat thorough how it is to walk into school buildings and have some fear, especially on the heels of some of the events we've seen. But I also think that we have a commitment to make all of our students and adults in the building not to front load our schools with fear. I won't read the whole thing. It goes on by saying that this one school board member who voted no said, by statute, school resources are tasked with keeping outside threats outside and deal with them once they are inside. Without a firearm, they can't deal with an outside threat, particularly one that would include a firearm. They can't do nothing more than a civilian, so that certainly puts a lot of people in harm's way. And the school, the other board person said that these SORs have been asked to be armed and present at the school board all year, the parent wrote. Why is it okay for them to protect you, but not my children? This is how insane this is getting. Between the statues and all the craziness, how they want a school resource officer, who is a commissioned police officer, to be in the school unarmed. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. With that being said, I'm going to go to Mr. Jesse. Good evening, good evening. KG4ZX-C, KAAKOY.
Hey, very good, Bob, and good evening, sir. I hope I'm coming in to leave with Charlie tonight. Been here tweaking on everything, trying to make sure everything is up to snuff. Hey, Bob, I'm the Saturday Night Living at. This is Kilo, Golf 4, Zulu, X-ray, Charlie, Jesse. I'm out of the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania once again, ladies and gentlemen, and yep, a voter fraud state. Hey, did you guys hear what happened to old Tom Wolf? I think the people has finally spoken. They took his draconian measures of law enforcement away, his mandates away from him, I should say. So, Tom Wolf, this is what happens when you violate what you're supposed to do against the people of the United States. Well, anyway, good to be here tonight. Everybody's sounding a little bit on the light side because I'm picking up a lot of boys here, so hopefully the band will continue to improve. Let's see, Bob, I got the story coming off of Gateway Pundits. I just want to throw in there more election disruptions, of course. This is coming out of New Hampshire from Hampstead voting. Anyway, breaking news, gold effects, findings in New Hampshire could impact the entire state and involve New Hampshire and possibly three other states. So evidently, earlier today, the audit in Windham, New Hampshire started testing if polls and ballots impacted the vote count of the 2020 election. If this is true, this could impact the entire state of New Hampshire. The recount of the votes was very close to a hand recount from November 12th. That means the voting machines are confirmed to be unreliable. Hey, well, anyway, the LHS programs the voting machines in the last four New England states. Silvestro has visited the audit multiple times since the recount, and the analysts If the machines are found unreliable, this new incident could affect elections in at least four New England states. Heather Mullis from Real American Voice reported on this development. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the election, we all know it. It's been stolen, and that's what's been happening here. And Maricopa County is going to be one of the first ones to let everybody know that Trump did win Arizona as well as all these other states. It's going to be in a landslide when it's finally detailed, and I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. It is still, ladies and gentlemen, so there you have it. Well, thanks for running up tonight, and good to hear everybody in there. This is KT4ZXC out of the Voter Proud State of Pennsylvania. Back to Net Control. KHJOY.
All right, Jesse, you're doing pretty good up here in Ohio. You're just about 20 over. Are you on an amplifier or not? Over.
Yes, we have all busy turned up.
All righty, I just wanted to check. Well, thank you for jumping in there, and thank you for your good old pundit. And it's nice to hear from the voter fraud state of Pennsylvania. So KP4 is ZX to the Z. I'll be clear, KJOY. I'm going to jump down to Mr. Clint. Sounding much better than you were on Wednesday. KC8, Echo Hotel Romeo, KHJOY.
Hey there, Bob. How are you doing today?
Top of the weather.
right here from the Maricopa County Attorney.
Anyway, thank you, sir, and I'm glad I'm doing better.
Up north, I'm on a vertical antenna down here. I'm on a dipole, so I have better, for the most part. But I was just happy because when I'm up there, it wasn't performing as good as it was this time. So I was glad to even hear you guys when I was up there. With that, I'll pass it back to you, sir. And I want to say hello to everybody down here. This is KCACA.
Alrighty, Clint, I guess you have to put a dipole in the Upper Peninsula to get a little bit better. KCACHR, KHLY, thank you, thank you. I'm going to run down to Georgia from one end to the other, down to Mr. Russ, KK4WS. Looking forward to hearing from you, Mr. Russ. This is KHLY.
Okay, doing good, Bob. KHJOY from KK4WS. I've got some more on COVID and the so-called vaccine. I don't even like to refer to it as a vaccine, but rather a shot or an injection, because I don't really think it's a vaccine. But anyway, I've got it's actually a recording of a group of doctors off of the front line, doctors, and they're on a video conference, kind of like one of these Zoom meetings or Teams meetings or something. And I can't tell you how many doctors is on this teleconference, but I can tell you right off the bat, this Dr. Lee Merritt is one of them, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is one of them. But that's just two out of a whole group of them. But this one person had a unique take, and I thought it was worth hearing. So I'm going to play it, and I may not be able to get all of it in, but I'll be able to get part of it in. So let's pick it up here. I've got it queued in less than 9 sounds. This is KK4WX for ID, and I'll try to ID it in 10 minutes if I run longer than that. So here it goes.
Thank you, sir. I'm Dr. Terry Mane. I'm an internal medicine physician and an osteopath as well. Practicing for the last 20 years, medical director, teaching medical students and attending different meetings where the agenda for humanity was discussed. So I speak out about those things. I have some opinions here. So I absolutely believe, just like Dr. Northrup does, that something is happening with these people that are getting these injections. I have a slightly different feeling about it, because at least with the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, one of the key components is the nanolipid particles, which are brand new technology on humanity. They're using a nanotechnology, which is pretty much little tiny computer bits. They actually can be nanobots, or another word is hydrogel. There's all different kinds of terms and names for the very same structure, but inside of those two vaccines is this sci-fi kind of substance. So that has concerned me from the very beginning, because that substance can do many different things. In this particular instance, what the drug manufacturers are telling us, they're saying they're using that substance because the body is very intelligent. It knows when something is not in nature. It would destroy the synthetic code that's being injected into the person right away. So they had to figure out a way to trick our bodies into accepting a synthetic code. They came up with this nanolipid particle that surrounds it. So they're using it, their reasoning is it's an on-demand drug delivery system. So it allows the body, and it suppresses their immune checkpoints to get into the cell. Now, they've never said what happens after the drug is delivered, because we know the substance can last for many, many years, who knows how long in the body. And it serves many purposes. First of all, it's on demand. It can be triggered at any moment to deliver the payload. Number two, very importantly, it can be used for biosensors in the body. Because something synthetic, it actually has the ability to accumulate data from your body, like your breathing, your respiration, proximals, and all kinds of things. So it has been proposed to use this substance for that. Why am I bringing this up? Well, this substance, actually, because it's little bits of computers in your body, it's crazy, but it's true, it can do that. It obviously has the ability to act through Wi-Fi. It can transmit and receive energy, messages, or frequencies, or impulses. That issue has never been addressed by this company. Well, what does that do to the human, right? This is the first time they've done it large scale. We know it happens to small groups of military people. They studied that. But just imagine you're getting this new substance in you, and it can react to things all around you, the side of you, your smart device, your phone. What's happening with that? What if something's triggering it too, like an impulse, a frequency? We have something completely foreign in the human body that has never been launched large scale. And happens at this time, right? We are now seeing more 5G cell towers going in. The schools, the prisons, the hospitals, et cetera, are putting more and more of this EMF frequency out. And so I believe, my personal belief, is that there's something to do with the EMF, the frequency that's being emitted. Because if these people have this inside of them, wow, this can act like an antenna and actually transmit it outwardly as well. So it's a theory of mine, but if you look at the research on this substance, which you'll usually find under hydrogel, it produces its own voltage, which is an EMF, many times more. So we know it will produce that kind of effect. The other thing I want to mention is that I learned by pattern. And I noticed a pattern since coming back to Georgia in January. In some of the patients I've seen, I saw a new pattern. And I, after a long series of deductive reasoning, I actually came up with why were they not successfully healing from XYZ. Even in male patients that I have, it was radiation or at least EMF toxicity. And sure enough, if you measure, we were measuring all of our phones, and I was floored with the EMF that was coming up. It was out, it was over the range, it could not even be calculated with a number, just by a couple clicks on our phones. This is much more than when I measured last year. This was unbelievable. It was coming from all of our phones. And imagine that amount, because if you look at what EMF does to a human, so they've done studies of just a man putting a laptop on his lap, and after 15 minutes, his sperm count will reduce by 50%. Well, they did that study, I don't know, but that was the result of it. Also, a person, a young, healthy teenager, putting a cell phone up to their ear. We draw their blood before they use the cell phone. Beautiful red blood cells swimming around. After 40 minutes of the phone to their ear, and this is with an older phone, not the newer one, all the red blood cells go into string-like patterns. They're called low formation. These strings are so long and sticky, of course they make it prone to clotting and blood problems, right? This goes on for a matter of time. So this, just being around this kind of abnormal frequency, which is not conducive to the human body, is destructive in many ways. We know that one of the first things affected will be the red blood cells. You're very sensitive to this. So what I've been seeing, at least in the greater Atlanta area, is that there's definitely something to do with radiation or EMF toxicity that has definitely gone up in the recent times. And I am concerned about what is happening inside these vaccines that has to do with that frequency as well.
Oh, okay. We are going to...
Okay, I'm going to stop the recording right there because I think that's the end of her part. But as you can now this is a physician, and these people have done a lot of research, and now this is a different take on it. By the way, this is KK4WX4ID, but this is one physician out of many that's in this teleconference that's finding things, these weird things going on with this so-called vaccine. But I'm not, as they said,
do not refer to it as a vaccine, but rather refer to it as a shot or an injection. Then you have to ask yourself, why are they pushing? I mean, since COVID-19 in the first place doesn't really affect young people, especially children, and these young people have already been proven that they're not spreading. The young people that are still in school, they're not spreaders of this disease. And they're not, even when they catch it, it doesn't have much effect on them. I mean, the mortality rate on these children are just almost next to nothing. So you got to ask yourself, why are they all of a sudden pushing to inoculate all these children with this shot? Why are they pushing to give them the injection? I'm not going to call it again a vaccine, but rather an injection. Why are they doing this? It's just especially to our children that it doesn't even seem to have an effect on them. So you have to ask a lot of questions on this, and I don't mean again to spook anyone or start any kind of idea of something crazy that's going on. But look, you just heard it yourself. You can go to the Dr. Lee Merrick's website, and you can listen to this video conference. There's an awful lot of doctors that are very, very well known and have very good reputation. And I would encourage you to go to her website and listen to it yourself. You can find it by, I think you can either Google it or search it by looking at it. It's called the Medical Rebel, or www.drleemerrick.com. www.drleemerrick.com. DrLeeMerrick.com. And she's got a bunch of videos on there. So, that and the Frontline Doctors is another website. I could give you the website for it too. But if you're having trouble finding hydrochloroquine or ivermectin, there's a list of doctors and whatnot, physicians that you can make a conference with, and they'll get you this medication. It's a known cure for COVID. So if you have problems with COVID, the shot isn't the cure. Rather, it's your problem. The ones that have taken it, I don't feel like it's the end of the world for anybody. I mean, they recommend to get on this treatment. And so there. But you need to read a lot about it, and you need to learn all you can learn about it. And I would warn your loved ones not to to take this this shot, but that's totally up to you. Okay, over there to you, Bob. I've held it long enough. KAHJOY. This is KK4WX, and I hope the recording you can hear all right. Over.
Roger, Roger, Russ. The recording was fine, and it does make you wonder, why is the push so great for our young people? It is a concerning thought. So KK4WX. KHLY, thank you, Russ. Let me go down to Mr. Bill to open the door in Pennsylvania. KO4FE, Mr. Bill, what have you got to open the door? KHLY.
Okay, KHLY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, you know, when these Asian attacks started, and back a while ago, I guess, I don't know if they'd actually been happening before that, they had that one white guy went into that massage parlor and killed a bunch of prostitutes. most of them were Asians, not all of them. We heard, all we heard was white supremacy, hate, anti-Asian hate, white men are the enemy, domestic terrorism, you know, the usual buzzwords that the left has popularized and injected into the popular culture. But then we had the problem with, that was it. All the other Asian attacks were being committed by blacks. And we know this because they're on video. The videos are all over the internet. Well, that put the left into a quandary because they were, well, you can't, how can you talk about white supremacy when the people committing the attacks are black? Well, they've got an answer to that eventually. Here's a headline. Colorado professor claims that white supremacy is causing black people to attack Asians. A critical race studies and ethnic studies professor at the University of Colorado Boulder is continuing to spread the lie that white supremacy is causing black people to attack Asians. Professor Jennifer Ho wrote an article for The Conversation entitled White Supremacy is the Root of All Race-Related Violence in the U.S. So it's not just anti-Asian attacks. It could be Mexicans attacking blacks, blacks attacking Asians, any kind of race-related violence, even if white people aren't even either victims or the perpetrators. It's all white supremacy. So anyway, it says, according to a report from Campus Reform, the nutty professor claims that even though black people are also attacking Asian Americans, white people are the main perpetrators of anti-Asian racism. Ho was previously president of the Association for Asian American Studies, director of the Center for Humanities and Arts. Ho added that the dehumanization of Asian peoples by U.S. society is driven by white supremacy and not by any black person who may or may not hate Asians. So a black person who may hate Asians, that's still the fault of white people. She also claims that there was an uptick of attacks on Asians, again, primarily by black people because of white supremacist ideas of Chinese people being blamed for COVID-19. I have yet to hear anybody say that COVID-19 is the fault of Chinese citizens or of America. I've heard talk that it's the communist Chinese in China, but I haven't heard any, or even it doesn't even make sense to blame Chinese citizens of America for it, and I haven't heard anybody say that. So that's just a straw man argument there. They just do anything to remove blame from black people. That's basically what it is. All right, let's go on here. Now, this is kind of a... Well, let me read the headline. Pennsylvania lawmakers reintroduce Down syndrome abortion ban. A bipartisan group of Pennsylvania lawmakers has sponsored a bill that would ban abortions in the state based on prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. If the legislation is enacted, a person who violates its provisions could be charged with a felony of the third degree. Now, there's conservatives that are touting this as something good, but I think there's something perverted about, if you think about it, basically what they're saying is that if it's a healthy kid, you can abort it. But if the kid's retarded, you're not allowed to abort it. Now, I'm not advocating abortion. I don't support abortion, but this particular bill is... There's just something not right with that. It's perfectly okay to abort a healthy kid, but if the kid could be retarded or defective, then you can all allow to abort that kid. I don't know, there's just something that just doesn't seem right about that. Well, anyway, you could think about that, but here's another one, and this is really a sign of the times. Joe Biden botches quotes from communist dictator Mao Zedong during Coast Guard commencement speech. Now, regardless of the fact that Biden screwed the quote up, the fact that he would even be quoting a communist dictator, a mass murderer who murdered 40 to 80 million people, that he would even be quoting a guy like that is amazing, and especially quoting him to part of the U.S. military. But anyway, here's the article. It said President Joe Biden mangled a quote from Chinese communist dictator Mao Zedong during his Coast Guard commencement speech Wednesday. He said, there's a saying used in a different context, the Chinese saying that says, women hold up half the world, Biden said during his commencement speech. It's an absolute stupid position not to make sure they represent at least half of what we do. Well, if they can do it, fine. Biden, who turned 78 in November, was referring to a quote from Chairman Mao, the founder of the Chinese Communist Party, who said that women hold up half the sky. That saying was used to drive the women's liberation movement in China. Biden repeatedly quoted Mao during the 2020 campaign to explain his stance on women in the workforce. He said, well, it just restates what he already said. Biden also used the quote in August 2020 to explain why he chose Senator Kamala Harris to be his running mate. He also used the slogan during an August 2020 fundraiser, calling it an old Chinese proverb. Well, it's not an old Chinese proverb. It's a communist proverb put out by a communist mass murderer. Listen, he couldn't even get the quote right. Oh, God, I don't know. This is the times we live in. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHY. Did you also like that bumbling boob when he used a quote from Ronald Reagan and said to the graduates of the U.S. Coast Guard that the Coast Guard is the nucleus of the Navy? And then nobody laughed, and then he told the class, literally, our U.S. president told the graduate class in Connecticut that they were some pretty dull people, over.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you know, Biden puts his foot in his mouth more than any politician I've ever seen.
It's a shame they weren't some old-timers from the Coast Guard, because they'd have booed him. But unfortunately, they're a bunch of young crew recruits, and they're afraid of what would happen if they would boo that dumbass.
KC8, K10.
Go ahead, K10.
I just wanted to say I'm checking in. I've been listening for 45 minutes or so, and thanks for letting me join in, and I've checked in before. Again, call my Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Tango November. God bless America. And I support this frequency, and I'm back to listening.
All righty. Excuse me, I got the hiccup. I will put you on the list, sir. Thank you. So, yeah, Bill, it's a shame. This is the times we are in. And why they would even ask him to speak to our military, because he really could care less about our military. It's very sad. Alrighty. KO4FE, KTLY signed. How about Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee? N4ROQ, KAHJLY.
Okay, thank you very much. The man is making everyone sounding real good. Alright, here's an article regarding China issues another protest over activity by U.S. and South China Sea. Just from Beijing, China, USA Today on Thursday issued its second protest as many days over United States naval activity in the South China Sea, drawing an unusually short response from the U.S. Navy's Sarah fleet, which accused Beijing of attempting to assert illegitimate maritime rights at the expense of its neighbors. A statement from the Chinese People's Liberation Army's Southern Theater Command said the guided missile destroyer USS Curtis Wilbur illegally intruded into its territorial waters surrounding the Paracel Island group on Thursday. We're sending a warship pretty close to that new installation up there in the South China Sea, it looks like. So we'll see how that goes after hopefully nothing big kind of that. Senate, let's see. That's not too interesting. Here's an interesting one. In Mexico City, bones found under floor of accused killer. Police turned up bones and other evidence under the floor of a dwelling near Mexico City, where a man was arrested for allegedly stabbing a woman to death and hacking up her body. Prosecuted in the state of Mexico, which includes most of the capital suburbs, said late Wednesday that they can't determine the number of possible victims that DNA testing will be needed in Florence, Connecticut. But evidence like shoes, ID cards, women's handbags, and clothing found at the slum dwelling just northwest of the capital suggests the 72-year-old suspect may have been a serial killer and may have been slaughtering victims for years. Investigators used jackhammers to tear up a concrete floor and intelligently dismantled a stone structure to allow forensic experts to sift through the dirt at the site. The dwelling is located on a common access property and with several dwellings built on a single lot. On Tuesday, prosecutors said they arrested a 32-year-old man while they were searching for a missing 34-year-old woman. So he was getting together, what it looks like. Alright. FBI accused of storing classified documents at home. The FBI employee has been charged and indicted that she stored classified documents and other national security information at home over the course of more than a decade. The Justice Department said Friday Kendra Kingsbury, 48, is accused of having unauthorized possession of a broad swath of sensitive government documents, including material that describes FBI sourcing and methods, and that contain information about operatives such as suspected associates of Osama bin Laden. So, what about Hillary Clinton? The premature non-Ethlets born in Morocco, which is in Casablanca, Morocco, are stable but fragile. 9 premature newborns that a 25-year-old Malal, M-A-L-I-A-N woman, gave birth to are being closely monitored in a Moroccan clinic. Kamala Sissi, C-I-S-S-E, gave birth to the 9 uplets, 5 girls and 4 boys. Can you believe that? All at one time. Earlier this month in Morocco, after the Malian government flew her there for special care. The babies weighed between 1.1 pounds looks like that. 1.1 pound to 2.2 pounds at both. One doctor said CT's non-uplifts are stable but fragile. Reports show two other sets of non-uplifts have been recorded since the 1970s. But the baby died one day. That's the other non-uplifts. Here's an article about the White House. It says, Washington, White House is personally any reason to swap, right? Vaccination badges and super swap for people who've gotten a coronavirus shot. The Biden administration says Friday is teaming up with dating apps to showcase the benefit of getting a shot. Apps like Hinge, Tinder, Match, and Bumble are offering special incentives to people who roll up their sleeves, including badges showing vaccination status and free access to premium content. So if you get your shot, if you get your experimental vaccine, if you get your experimental vaccine, then you're going to have access to Hinge, Tinder, Match, and Bumble. And the White House is going to help you to get you a date with these dating apps. And if you don't take this app, or don't take the experimental vaccine, then you're not. So look at all this. They got all the free stuff yet if you take that. You take the shot there, gentlemen. Okay, moving along from there, it says, including badges showing vaccination status and free access to premium content. To get premium content, now if you take that shot, BLK and CHIP-4 will boost profiles of those who are vaccinated to make them more visible to potential matches. And OKCupid will even let users filter out potential partners based on whether they've gotten a vaccine. So these women can pick you out. If you don't have a vaccine, then they're going to pick you. The White House says the apps will also connect users to learn how to get vaccinated, including information on how to find the nearest vaccination site. The administration pointed to research from OKCupid that found those who are already or planning to get vaccinated received 14% more matches on the app. So you got 14% more matches if you're planning to get vaccinated. So back to you there, Bob. Enjoying it at KAHJY from M4.
Thank you, Larry. It just makes you wonder the goal. What is the ultimate goal? I guess it's control. I'm not sure. The government sure is involved a lot in your life. Way too more than they should be. N4ROQ, thank you, Larry. KHOI. Down to Mr. Frank from Fishkill, New York. Whiskey 2, Golf India Oscar. Mr. Frank, good evening. Good to hear you checking in early.
Okay. W2GIO, Frank in Fishkill, New York. GIO, the front, that is. Let's see, what do I have here today? Well, this is good stuff. There's a young lady by the name of Cadence Owens, and she's co-founder of an organization called Blexit, which is, B-L-E-X-I-T, and essentially it's a organization that is counteracting Black Lives Matter. And so she is involved with organizing or getting people to organize locally, and they are holding rallies. And here last week, Brexit turned out thousands of activists across the country to support our nation's law enforcement. In New York, we hosted a successful Back to Blue rally to support all the hardworking men and women in blue. In California, we brought out Brexit activists for ride-alongs and hosted conversations with local police officers about how to keep our community safe. Anyhow, We're challenging the leftist anti-cop narrative every single day and mobilizing our communities in support of conservative values. This was a little pitch for sending in some bucks, which I have done already, to support this organization. In fact, there's some, one woman was involved heavily in Black Lives Matter. She came over and joined this organization because she saw the light. Let's see, what else do I have here? American Frontline Doctors. It says, we're suing. In the United States District Court, American Frontline Doctors petition for temporary restraining orders versus Xavier Becerra, Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and John and Jane Doe versus Black and White Partnership and ABC Corporation, blah, blah, blah. Defendants. It says here, today, American Frontline Doctors file a petition for a temporary restraining order against the U.S. Secretary of the United States Department of Human Health and Human Services. And here's why. Killing are not pigs. There is a statistically 0% chance of young people dying of COVID-19 to promote an investigational product that has no long-term studies and no animal studies. Pressure parents and teens to use an experimental product that has not been fully approved by the FDA breaks all the rules of medicine and the HHS own goal to protect Americans. The expansion of the emergency use authorization for younger children is all risk and no benefit. HHS is ignoring the science and the data. HHS is betraying its mission to enhance the health and well-being of all Americans by fostering self-sustained advances in the science underlying medicine, public health, and social services. Sadly, millions of parents are being misled by HHS Secretary and the FDA, and we are calling on the federal courts to stop this and compel the HHS to suspend the promotion and rush to administer a vaccine that has not been fully tested and approved. COVID-19 vaccine side effects, we've never seen this level of side effects for any vaccine without the FDA taking action. The virus vaccine was canceled for 14 cases of non-lethal side effects, and the swine flu vaccine was canceled for 25 deaths. But now, by the CDC's own data, we are seeing a 12,000% increase in deaths with these vaccines, and they're still promoting this to our kids. Support the science. Under the age of 20, the survivability rate for COVID-19 is 99.997%. More than 4,000 deaths have been tied to the administration of COVID-19 vaccine in the last 4 months, as opposed to 1,500 total in the previous 10 years of all vaccines. The last fact alone should be enough to stop this dangerous vaccine. But HHS and the FDA and the CDC are ignoring the science and they're putting the lives of our children on the line. Thousands of doctors and physician groups across the world are demanding the vaccine rollout be stopped. But American Frontline Doctors is the one group that is suing to make sure that the government does not continue down this dangerous road. Please consider assisting American Frontline Doctors today with your gift of support. Well, there you go. So at least we're getting some sanity and some legal stuff going on. And I think there's more happening, too, I think, in Georgia. So anyhow, that's it from me. And one kind of interesting thing. I was up on the local repeater site. I am trustee of a 220 repeater we have up on Mount Beacon. This is W2GIO. And it turns out to be an old GE Master 2. And on the way down, we were kind of kidding a little bit because I said, well, you know, we're going to have to change the name of the repeater because we can't call it a master because that's going to be a racist comment. That'll be a racist thing. And then we started looking at how many times master is used. You know, you got lots that say master on it. And then you got, in electronics, you got master and slave, all the things. So we're going to have to rewrite all the engineering textbooks. If this nonsense keeps up. Anyhow, that was my funny for today. W2GIO.
Well, Frank, that is a true statement. The repeaters that were in our area used to be master twos, but now both mine are Kenwood. But on the same token, there's a restaurant here in town. It was a little old man with white hair, and it's a prominent food and burgers, and it's called Whitey's. W-H-I-T-E-Y-S, Whitey's Booze and Burgers. And we constantly laugh, wait till somebody says we got to change the name of that one. So, thank you, Frank. W2GIO-KJY. Miss Laura, hello. Miss Laura, Mr. Marty, N2JTT, N2IRJ are listening. Mr. Chris, hello, KN4ZES. Miss Chris typed to me. I asked him, is there any comments he wanted to make? He said, he is being mellow this evening and enjoying the comments. I'm sure we can stir him up sooner or later. How about from the state of West Virginia, Mr. James? November 8th, Kilo, Lima, Quebec. Are you still with us? Over. Alrighty, I'm listening. I will put it down that way. Thank you for coming back to me. How about Mr. Charles in Michigan? Kilo, Charlie 8, Kilo, Tango, November. Mr. Charles, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Net Control. This is KCHKTN. I've been listening and enjoying everything I'm listening to, and I agree with everything being said. It's just a crazy world. But at the end of the day, but you got to also be, you also got to sit back and take for granted that, or not take for granted, but that realize that life is short and enjoy life too. You know, if you look back at history, there's always been chaos. There's always been chaos. Every century, in the early part of the 20th century, in World War One and in World War Two, think about the poor people over there in Europe that were getting killed and bombed on, especially London over in World War. There's always been chaos going on and doom and gloom. But at the end of the day, we will make it through this. We will make it through this, and we will be better for it. And we are the best country in the world. Because if we weren't, this ham radio wouldn't be allowed and they'd be shutting us down. But I tried to stay informed, but I don't let the news affect my life. I'm 60 years old and not as old as some of the gentlemen out here, but I'm trying to stay positive. I've been going back to church now for a couple of months, and I don't know. Maybe I'm rambling here, but all I'm saying is, yeah, there's a lot of crap going on, but there's a lot of good going on too, and we got to stay focused on the good and not stay focused on all the bad all the time, because it warps your sense of perception. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, and God bless everybody out here. Stay safe, and I am not getting the shot. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they influence us. I am not getting the shot. And if somebody wants to get the shot, so be it. I'm behind them 100%. But me personally, I am not getting the shot. I'm just not doing it. The math don't figure out right. But anyway, everybody out here, stay safe and God bless. And we're in the best country in the world. And God bless America. And I'll turn it back to Net Control.
All righty, Charles. Thank you. KCHKTN. No, you're not rambling. Thank you for bringing that to the table. I'm at the bottom of the list. Let me see if I have anybody else new. It is KJY for the Great Liberty Net.
Kilowatt Zero, you're in Echo Delta portal.
So get that man for the numbers. Over.
All right, so K2LED, Mr. Bob, and Mr. O, KD0RSA. It's always good to hear you. Mr. Bob, I'm going to go to you in Kenmore, New York. Good signal portable, K2LED, KHLY.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm actually portable at Allegheny State Park. Allegheny State Park, which is on the New York-Pennsylvania border. And I threw a wire up in the tree, doing some camping this weekend, enjoying a weekend away from everybody, and no face diapers. Yay! Anyways, last week got back from Utah, spent 10 days in Utah, And they don't have face diapers out there either. So that was a great time. We really enjoyed Capitol Reef region. Did a lot of 4x4 trails. It's just an incredible area out there. If you guys ever get a chance, you got to go to the beautiful national parks over in Utah. And, the only time we saw folks out there in Utah with face diapers, you look at their license plate and they said California. So go figure, commie California. Anyways, we have been enjoying listening to you guys. And it is absolute insanity out there in the political world. You know what, you're net, and many of the members, great relief. So carry on, folks, and join us here. This is Bob, K2LED, running portable on a battery, camping at the Allegheny State Park.
All righty, Bob, I have to ask, how many watts are you pushing? You're 20 over here in Houston, Ohio.
Looks like I'm getting about 50 watts out of here. And let me tell you about the antenna. It's a 100-foot long antenna, believe it or not. It's only like 24 gauge. So it goes up 40 feet and 60 feet across the trees, hooked up to a 9-to-1 UNUN, a very high-quality round one. What's your employees? Beautiful.
Wow, you're doing a great job. It is working well for you. With a tuner or without a tuner?
Yeah, I'm running a tuner. With the 9-to-1, I could tune 80 on up. I bypass the UNUN, and then I could tune 160.
Good job. Well, thank you. I appreciate you joining us. Stick around. I'll go through the list again. K2LED, KHOI. Down to Mr. Moe, at least Mr. Moe, you got to say hi to us. KD0, RSA, KHAHAOY.
KHAHAOY. Can't hear anybody, and I don't really have anything tonight, so just put me down for the numbers. KD0RSA, back to you, Bob, over.
Alrighty, Mr. Moe, I'm sorry you can't hear everybody. It's a pretty good net tonight, but it's good to hear you. Before I go to the top of the list, this was last night on Greg Kelly. So, of course, the left is saying that the January 6th was the worst, the absolute worst attack since the War of 1812. Every talking head is saying the same exact words. It's the worst attack since the War of 1812. Every one of them, male, female, it's kind of interesting. So Greg Kelly said, well, let's look. So in 1998, now remember, January 6th, there's only one murder, and that's when the Capitol Police murdered the Babbitt girl, the veteran. So in 1998, there was the detective John Gibson and Officer Jacob Chestnut were shot in a confrontation at the White House. That was 1998. 1983, a bomb was thrown into the White House, a TNT, I think it was, and exploded and caused damage to the White House. I don't remember a bomb going off or TNT going off in January 6th. In 1954, there was 5 House of Representatives that were shot and killed in the People's House from a gunman on the balcony. 5 male House of Representatives were actually killed in their seat in 1954. In 1950, across the street from the White House, I think it was Wilson, but I'm not positive, there was an assassination attempt on it while his quarters were being remodeled in the White House. And in 1915, another time where a bomb was deployed actually in the White House in the Capitol building, 1915. So for them to say that this was the worst attack on the Capitol is all crap, but that's what they do. With that being said, let me go to Mr. Jesse, KG4, ZX Tennessee. Mr. Jesse, round number 2, what say you? Over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for room number two, good evening, Bob. Once again, did that help out?
Yep, it's a lot better. It has to fire the wire.
All right, good deal. All right, very good. Thanks, Bob, for running the net tonight, and thanks, everybody, for being here as well. Great signals coming out all over the place. Even from my neighboring guy hanging out in the Allegheny Mountains between New York and PA. Good to hear you doing that tonight, too, sir. Hey, this is Kilo Golf Force, this is X-Ray Charlie Jesse. I'm Booger Frog State of Pennsylvania once again, and this is the fact you're not living yet, and good to hear everybody, like I said. Let's see, room two. Oh, man, I tell you, there's so much information coming out lately, it's hard to keep track of some of the important stuff. Well, let's see, what is important? Well, I've got a few stories here, but I want to leave the one for the closing 73 round. But off of trending politics, I'm going to go into this story real brief. Morning Joe blows his back over ongoing Arizona election hawk. Just blowing his stack over on it, but you know, these people are, I don't think they know the difference between a recount and an audit. But this is a true audit going on in Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Failure to halt the ongoing audit of the election results in Arizona, largest county, has many members of the anti-Trump resistance badly rattled after lash out. One of the MSNBC, yeah, I said it, wow, who really watches this guy, I really don't know, but the guy's name is Joe Scarborough, the namesake for the network early morning pick for liberals, that is Morning Joe, well, along with the South Micah Brzezinski, and he has spent years raging against former President Donald J. Trump and his supporters. Scarborough show regularly served as a forum for some of the leniest conspiracy theories the side of Rachel Maddow. Anyway, the volatile host often veers from a slow burn into an outright temper tantrum. On Friday, he blew his back over the Maricopa County audit. Morning Joe raged against those who have legitimate concerns that the election may not have been on the up and up by calling them to get the hell out of the country. America, love it or leave it, he raged. Yeah, this douchebag, let me tell you about this guy. He wants Americans to leave the country if we don't agree with the election. What? Man, this guy, I think I've only heard maybe a handful of statements out of this guy's mouth, but I have to say, there's a reason why people don't watch these clowns. And just by his comments right there alone says it all. Hey, well, anyway, I'll save the other comment for the 73 round, Bob, and thanks for running the net once again, and thanks for filling in for me on Wednesday as well. This is KG4ZXNFC, Jesse here out of the fraudulent voter state of Pennsylvania. Once again, back to Net Control, KHJOY, and the Night Liberty Net. Take it away, Bob.
All right, Jesse, KG4ZXNFC. I think you were wrong. It's Rachel Maddow, isn't it?
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. Yeah, that's her.
All right, I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Thank you, sir. All right, let me go down to Mr. up in Michigan. KCHEHR, Mr. Flint, what do you got for round number two, sir? Over.
Well, sir, I want to go ahead and go through the details of the Maricopa County Attorney Office, write a letter to the Senate leadership and to question all documents regarding deleted election database directory. It looks like the Maricopa County Attorney is recognized their office and utilizes for a possible investigation.
Signal's still good here in Ohio, so KC8EHRKHOY. Let me run down to Mr. Ruck in the great state of Georgia. KK4WX, Mr. Ruck, KAHJOY.
Okay, Bob, KAHJOY from KK4WX. I'll stay on this, COVID slash vaccine shot thing. I'm not going to talk much more about the vaccine or shot, but a little bit about COVID and the cure for it, which is ivermectin and some of the other natural type of over-the-counter vitamins and things of this nature. But right now I'm going to play a video of a whole group of doctors. It's just every one of them is very, very well credited, and they're really sticking their neck out and upholding their hypocritical oaths and just they're basically putting their careers and their livelihoods are on the line. Speaking about this this COVID and the cure for it, which is ivermectin. So I'm going to play this, and you're not going to hear anybody give their names, but you'll just have to take my word. The screen is showing the doctor's name and where he's located or she's located each time it switches over to them, and it constantly goes from one doctor to the other, and they're giving their opinion about it. So here goes with the
tape and maybe I can make it skew it up right. This is KK4WX Friday.
You were to say, you know, tell me the characteristics of a perfect thrust composite. What would you ask me? So I think you were asking something firstly that's safe, that's cheap, that's readily available, and that has antiviral and anti-inflammatory properties. People would say, that's ridiculous. There could not be possibly be a drug that has all of those characteristics. That's just unreasonable. But we do. The drug is not argument. It is such a benign medication, and it has such a great safety margin, and it's so inexpensive that if you didn't have COVID, you still felt better. You could stay.
Here's the argument that around the world are using. You started reading articles about Peru, Argentina. Singapore has done a study in the summertime, and they were seeing pretty impressive results. And what's interesting about it, when you look at the medication, this is a medication that is only prescribed 3.7 billion times. I think the mortality rate from the medication is only 12. And on top of that, it won the Nobel Prize. So, can you go wrong? The thing that's been very unfortunate about this pandemic is that at a time where we've moved, if anything, out of the box thinking and forward thinking and openness, we really settled into this way of thinking where we want to leave large trials to just tell us what to do.
There are several studies that have come across from across the globe, over 100, that cover all primary research and the meta-analyses. And the majority of them point to the fact that ivermectin has efficacy in shortening the duration of disease, shortening the time that there are symptoms, and in reducing mortality.
When you see repeated different investigators in different countries who have nothing to do with other reproducing a similar result, you cannot ignore it.
I think that patients' best interest should always be put first. And if we have a safe drug that we have huge amounts of experience using, we should be offering that to patients right away.
We want to get your friends, family, people who go to church with us. We don't want to hurt them, okay? And the safety of ivermectin and the fact that I've been using it for 27 years in practice gives me confidence that I can use it safe.
With ivermectin and a few other things we do in our protocol, we're managing probably have a survival rate in hypoxic patients of over 90%.
If you saw that in your practice, you would be convinced. When you're reading a paper and it says, you know, oh, it's 32 patients, it's just easy to blow up, you know, brush out. Like, come on, this is nothing. I mean, this is what we're kind of studying.
None of the university and big institutional doctors are allowed to use ivermectin. They've been told not to listen to patient complaints, not to read literature, not to prescribe ivermectin. They have long put blinders on.
You know, honestly, I'm hopeful, you know, I got 260 people, okay, and I just hear it's true. And 99.9% of them have not recorded anything other than the protocol.
We've received patients from as far away as 100 miles away from our office because their experience, unfortunately, has been a refusal adamantly on the part of their primary care doctor to prescribe ivermectin and or a approach where they've been told if they get sick, just to go home, and if they get sicker, to go to the ER.
The hospital, I feel, has an obligation to be transparent and to tell patients, to tell every patient, that there is this drug that's being used off-label.
There shouldn't be any, you know, any criticism because something that was unexpected worked. That's, you know, it's kind of a hallmark of science.
When I ask them why do you don't use ivermectin with your COVID patients, the answer is that, well, there's no evidence. When I show them the evidence, they change their mind.
Jacob, I could see a lot of story attorneys talking about ivermectin from all over the world. Yeah. You know, India, Peru, Mexico, you know, Bulgaria, Slovakia, all these places. And ask yourself, what are the odds that this could happen by chance?
You know, fortunately, when there's research that comes out,
I think Western medicine sort of looks at them, looking down upon them, as if their standards are not up to speed. I said, they're not doing randomized control trials as well as we do it here in the United States, which is hogwash, because some of the most incredible physicians and brilliant scientific minds have been from Latin America and Asia and Africa. I definitely do think, unfortunately, there is bias towards data that's coming from overseas.
In human medicine, we're trained, we know and understand pathophysiology, and the people that are telling us not to use this drug they concern us, and they frankly concern the direction of medicine and the direction this country is going in.
Governments and health organizations are ignoring the evidence, and they've announced another. And I think this is because they're heavily invested in novel treatments.
Corporate medicine makes it very difficult for people to do anything different than the party line. You know, what's the plan? What are we doing today? What are we doing this month?
A lot of the resistance to ivermectin is because there are a lot of people who don't want COVID to go away. They're making far too much money out of it.
Big Pharma, I think they want to promote mostly what they have something with the motivation and mostly with the financial incentive they have with creating their new drugs.
And one of the horrible things about this, you know, this whole pandemic is just shutting off people, you know, and canceling them. You know, people who are talking about things that work, you know, just weeding them off of Facebook and weeding them off of Twitter.
I'm on my 26th day of censorship on Facebook for violating community standards. Who are these people to be telling frontline doctors how to practice medicine?
We need to look at the totality of evidence. We need to look at all evidence. We need to interrogate all the evidence and have a multidisciplinary team, not just a few celebrity scientists, coming together to make a conclusion about all types of medicine.
It's important to maintain scientific rigor and not be cowboys and just run off doing everything experimentally, but at the same time, not sitting back and sort of condemning ourselves to inertia where we can't do anything until a large, extremely well-powered design clinical trial just tells us what to do while our patients are dying day after day after day, and they need our help, they need us to be doctors, they need us to meet this moment.
Why would we not need this? The worst possible outcome is that we have a country of parasitic people.
The saddest thing for us is we know this can make a difference to save lives, and it seems like nobody would be cared unless we look to it. That's what frustrates us, to say that we have this massive force out there that's trying to silence us. And yet, we feel we can't be silenced. We just can't be, because, you know, the truth will ultimately prevail.
Okay, I'm one who stopped the recording there, but I think you got the idea of what all of these doctors are saying, and I wish I could give you all their names, but on the video it shows their names and where they're located, which is all around the United States, and as far as that goes, around the globe. And it's all been proven. These are people who are doctors, physicians that have tried ivermectin. This is KK4WX, by the way, and it's just a proven drug. This thing's been out I can't remember what they said. It's been out for at least 50, 60, or 70 years. And it's a very safe drug. And it's just an absolutely remarkable breakthrough and all the patients and whatnot that is actually helping and curing from this COVID. So ivermectin is one of the main drugs that can be used. It's cheap, and it can cure this dreadful COVID-19, and we've got to get the word out to it. These are a lot of the frontline doctors that are on this video, and you can go to their website again. The website here that I'm looking at is called https://COVID 19, that's the number 19, criticalcare.com. That's HTTPS, colon, and then / COVID, and the number 19, and the words criticalcare.com. So if you want to go there and look, there's other links on this page for the American Frontline Doctors that you can go to from there, and you can get protocols that will help you prevent the prophylactic to help you prevent from getting COVID. So there you go. Something else I was going to say too, I heard on another, I don't know if it's a video or what it was that I was watching, I think it was, but it's kind of remarkable of what's happened or what's been happening in India. India, as you know, is very, very populated, and it's not all that much of a rich country. There's a lot of poor people over there. But when COVID came out, very, very few people over in India were catching COVID. They just didn't catch it. The reason why is because a lot of them were, they were taking this ivermectin. I mean, they sell it over there like they do aspirin over the counter or something. To keep from getting other parasitics or parasites and whatnot. It's a cure for it. And other diseases and whatnot that's known from getting things like mosquitoes and whatnot. But anyway, all of a sudden, India starts losing all these patients. And all these patients start dying from COVID. And they put two and two together and figured out that the reason they were starting to, a lot of the patients were dying, it wasn't the fact that they didn't have, it wasn't the fact that COVID wasn't being introduced to the population. It was the fact that a so-called vaccine was finally getting to the Indians. So they finally distributed the vaccine, and that's when people started dying. So go ask yourself, what good is this so-called shot or this injection if it's going to kill people? They didn't have any problems before, and they brought the vaccine in, and now all of a sudden, they're dropping like flies. KKHJOY from KK4WX.
All righty, Russell, thank you for that information. That was really good. KK4WX, KJOY. Appreciate it. Next is Mr. Bill, round number two, KO4FE. William, what have you got to say?
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Well, I'm going to talk about the COVID thing, but I'm not going to talk about the vaccines and masks and all that stuff. I got the vaccine or shot or whatever you want to call it. I didn't get any reaction to it. I know at least 20 people would have taken one or the other. They had nothing happened to them. But also, I'm not going to wear that damn mask anymore. I was in a store, a Macy's store, looking at some shirts, and a woman comes up to me and she says, "Sir, do you have a mask?" And I said, "No." And she says, "Well, you can't shop in Macy's without a mask." I said, "Well, ma'am, I can fix that real easy. I'm just not going to shop in Macy's." And I just left. I'll just shop online if I need to. But anyway, I'm not going to argue about it. But what concerns me more than all that, because I think this is all going to fade away eventually, all the mask stuff and the vaccine stuff, What I'm more interested in is how this thing got started.
Wuhan.
I don't believe this vaccine's been around. I think it's a new thing, and I'd like to know where it started and for why. Well, anyway, it's coming out, more and more articles are coming out that this was come out of that lab in Wuhan, China. Whether it was accidentally escaped there, or whether this was a deliberate plot by the Chinese communist government is what I'm interested in. And here we got a headline, Daily Mail, CDC Director Dr. Walensky says it's possible COVID could have leaked from a lab. And House Intel GOP publishes a report stating there is significant circumstantial evidence the virus escaped from Wuhan. The COVID-19 virus could potentially have escaped from a laboratory, one of the most senior health officials in the U.S. conceded on Wednesday, as House Republicans published their own report claiming there is substantial evidence that the virus originated in a Wuhan facility. This is a Wuhan facility, incidentally. It's not mentioned in this article, I don't think, that's connected with Dr. Fauci indirectly. They received funding from a organization or some type of a grant-making foundation here in the United States that Fauci is a board member. So that's his connection to this thing. Anyway, continuing with the story, it says the U.S. government has been at pains to downplay speculation that the virus was the result of an accident in China, although they were calling on Beijing to be more transparent about their role. Yeah, I'm sure we can trust Beijing. They insist that it's far more likely that the COVID-19 originated with animals and spread naturally to humans. Well, that begs the question that if it's been among animals, why did it suddenly start spreading to humans? Anyway, critics of the Biden administration have accused the government of not telling the whole truth and not pushing hard enough in a bid to avoid angering China. Yes, we don't want to anger China. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, director of the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, appeared before Congress on Wednesday for a hearing on their budget for the next fiscal year starting on October 1st. She was asked by Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, a Republican, how she believed the pandemic began. She said, "I don't believe I've seen enough data, individual data, for me to be able to comment on that," Walensky said. Asked about the possibilities, Walensky said, "Certainly the possibilities of that most coronaviruses we know of are origin from that have," this is what she said, I'm not misreading this, this is a quote, "that have infected the population, SARS, COV-1, MERS, generally come from an animal group." Kennedy responded, "Are there any other possibilities?" She said, "Certainly a lab-based origin is one possibility." She was also asked whether the United States was funding any gain-of-function research, a risky and controversial technique which plays around with the virus features such as transmissibility and lethality. Walensky replied, "Not that I know of." She spoke as the House Republicans on the Intelligence Committee published their own report on the virus. So anyway, there sounds like these doctors are being a little vague. I don't think they're going to be on the record saying for sure that this virus didn't come from a lab, because there could be evidence lurking out there that confirms that it did. And if it did, was this something that was done by Chinese communist military departments or some other thing? There's been discussion that there was some type of a government plot by China to retaliate against the United States for trade policies and things that they don't like. Well, anyway, back on the white supremacy thing, here we go, Gateway Pundit. Biden Justice Department weighing domestic terrorism law to target white supremacists. They just can't get enough of this white supremacy, white privilege. I mean, I guess, you know, white people are up to all kinds of things, even when they're not even trying to do anything, even when they're not even involved, they're to blame. It's like white people are like omnipresent. We control different groups through remote control. We make blacks attack Chinese. We make Mexicans sneak across the border. I mean, you know, they think white people are in control of everything. So anyway, it's straight back. They got to go against domestic terrorists, which is code for white people. Well, anyway, story says the Biden Justice Department is actively considering whether to give prosecutors new authorities to bring specific charges against so-called domestic terrorists. They said one of the things we're looking at is, would we need new authorities? Brad Wingham, Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Department of National Security Division, said Thursday, because the current law is on the books to bring charges for arson, violations of weapons, or explosives isn't enough. It's not enough. The reality is the DOJ is looking to make new laws to persecute people with whom they politically disagree. The Justice Department did not, of course, mention BLM terrorists or Antifa terrorists. They are focused on so-called white supremacists, which is just code for Trump supporters / conservatives. I would add / any white person that doesn't vote Democrat. The FBI said white supremacists pose the most lethal threat, despite the fact that BLM and Antifa have caused billions in damage, killed dozens of people, and burned countless buildings to the ground over the last year. Bloomberg reported that Weigman told the House Appropriations Subcommittee that one question that DOJ is wrestling with is, are there any gaps? Is there some kind of conduct that we can envision that we can't cover, or would it be otherwise benefit in having something else other than what we're having now? Wegman said, admitting the DOJ is looking to politically persecute conservatives. Bloomberg said currently no U.S. law lets the government designate domestic terrorists or domestic extremists as terrorists or bring specific charges for domestic terrorism. That contrasts with laws that can combat international terrorism, which allow the government to designate groups and bring charges for providing these groups with material support. This is a cancer on our country, said Representative Matt Cartwright, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, chairman of the subcommittee. Right-wing extremist attacks and plots have greatly outnumbered those from all other groups combined and caused more deaths as well. Well, I don't know about the, you know, I'd say the Muslims have been doing pretty good over the past 20 years. Of course, they don't include 9/11 in any of these discussions. 3,000 people killed there, untold numbers injured. Again, no mention of BLM or Antifa terrorists, no mention of black-on-black violence that kills hundreds of blacks every year in Chicago. Not a word about blacks attacking Asians. The Biden regime is specifically hunting down white people. That's what it's really all about. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Totally amazing, Bill. The amount of constantly going after the white man. I think it's interesting in Chicago, that creepy little mayor, Littlefoot, she's only going to allow people to interview her that are reporters of color. However, she's married to a big, tall white girl. So I wonder what their talks are like at the dinner table, over.
Well, she's probably blaming her for white supremacy.
Well, by the size of that white woman, I bet she would whip that little mayor down to size. So, yes, it's always our fault. It's just amazing. And last night, if you could go back and look for it, on Tucker Carlson, he interviewed Dr. Yan, Y-A-N. She was a virologist that was actually working in the Rohan lab. And she talks about that this is a modified disease through gain of function. She fled China after the virus was released, and she can no longer return, and she fears for her family's safety since she's speaking out in America. But she specifies this disease was brought to us by China with a purpose. Over.
Yeah, Roger.
All right, Bill. Thank you. KO4FE, KHLY. Mr. Larry in Knoxville. November 4, Romeo, Oscar, Quebec, KHLY. It's up to you.
Hey, Bob. Break KK4WX.
All right, hold on, Mr. Larry. Go ahead, KK4WX.
Yeah, Bob, I watched that interview on Tucker Carlson last night with that scientist from China, but that's not the only thing that she said about it being brought out by the Communist Party. She also said that Dr. Fauci and that the U.S. had sponsored or something. I can't remember exactly who it was. Maybe you do. Bob, but somebody was sponsoring the Wuhan lab with U.S. taxpayers' dollars. That was what I found awful interesting, and Dr. Fauci has got his hands all in this thing. And yet they're going to him and making him out to look like some kind of a hero or something in this whole thing. So anyway, that's all I had to say. I don't know if you caught that part of it or not, but I did. This is KK4WA.
Well, it is worth going back and and watching it again because it was a good interview with her. So thank you, Russell, KK4WX. Let me jump down to Mr. Larry in 4ROQ, KHOI.
Okay, thank you very much. I just run into another event here that the Democrats are sponsoring for marijuana cigarettes, free marijuana cigarettes in New York. Vaccinated adults get free marijuana cigarettes at a joint or jab event in New York. And they were supposed to be fully reopened by July the 1st. They say it was just like a shutdown totally. Just like everything was all boarded up in New York. Nothing moving. They had everything closed down. So vaccinated adults get free marijuana cigarettes. But if you need some marijuana cigarettes,
Okay, you can go up there and show them your resume, and you'll get, it's called the Joint for Jabs event in New York. So, let's push in this in any way they can to get you vaccinated, and I'm sure it's not for the COVID-19 that they want you vaccinated. It has to be something else in there. I found some articles about Bill Gates and DARPA, and this is really a role in the vaccine. The Bill Gates Organization and DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, that's a organization that makes a lot of military stuff, or in with the military. So if you guys want to read something here, I kind of Googled that the other day, and you know, they make these little IC chips injectable to be put in your body and all kinds of stuff. I don't know, it's hard telling what kind of stuff they've got in store for us, especially in the vaccine. So if you guys want to look around, if you know who started this, and I'm sure China set all this loose on us. But it's good to know that you're not injecting poison in your system too. You don't want to have that down. It's okay that you're fine now. And I want you to be fine later, everyone who's taken. But if you're really poison, I want to know ahead of time. Now it's, what can expect in the future, what you have injected in yourself. So here's an article regarding Trump Organization facing criminal inquiry in New York. Now they're after Trump every way in the world. They don't want him to run again, and they want to take him down. The Democrat Socialist. Out in Albany, New York, USA Today. State Attorney General Letitia James joined forces with Manhattan District Attorney Silas Vance, leader of the long-running criminal investigation into Donald Trump and his family's ills, escalating the potential legal jeopardy facing the former president and his associates. For more than 2 years, James had been investigating Trump and his company as part of a federal inquiry about former Trump attorney Michael Cohen claimed they fraudulently boosted his property values to obtain tax breaks and better cut on loans and insurance. Here's something else that's got a name on it. Well, James' office announced late Tuesday that the inquiry had shifted to a criminal investigation, and that state authorities were now working with Manhattan prosecutors to successfully fight their 10 years of Trump tax returns. We have informed the Trump Organization that an investigation into the organization is no longer purely civil in nature. James Fabian Levy said in a statement first reported late Tuesday by CNN, "We are now actively investigating the Trump Organization in a criminal capacity, along with Manhattan District Attorney." Levy denied further comment. The Trump Organization could not immediately be reached for comment late Tuesday. Trump now faces criminal investigations on two major fronts in New York and New Georgia, where local prosecutors are examining Trump's attempt to interfere in the state election appeal to both counties in his favor. These Democrats are trying to get him there over the phone call. Georgia's prosecutors have acknowledged that they are reviewing a range of possible assessments, including solicitation of election fraud, false statements, conspiracy, oath of office violation, racketeering, and violence associated with threats to the election process. The New York Attorney General's action, however, brings additional firepower to bear in a tax and bank fraud inquiry that potentially threatens and dents in future political liability. I'll tell you what, if they can't bring Trump down, he's the squeakiest clean person in the United States. They've tried, guys. The Russian inquiry,
they tried to impeach him twice. He's on and on and on. Anyone who did anything on this guy, trying to put his partners in jail or his campaign advisors, and they just did anything they can to produce the Trump. What they suggest is the Attorney General has uncovered something to indicate that there is more than just questions about basic accounting practices that Trump prepared federal prosecutor David Weinstein. This is turning up the heat and increasing the likelihood of some sort of criminal charges are likely here. They're trying to put some kind of criminal charges in. And it just makes me sick reading about all these Democrats trying to take Trump down. But as long as it goes on, they talk about polling and campaigning, and they're talking about those Trump purchased the seven strange property. This is his golf property, I reckon, for $10.5 million in 1995. Trying and failing the various developments in the unit for luxury housing and a golf course. The property includes 2 mansions, a cut through the Westchester towns of Boston, North Castle, and Newcastle. In 2015, Trump agreed to conservation easement and pledged not to develop 159 acres at Seven Springs, a decision that came with tax benefits. So, anything that they control here, they know he's draining the swamp. And he did for the swamp was that big. It really is that big. So, pray for his honor. Thanks to you, Bob, and for ROC on the living.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, that swamp is, it's the size of a damn lake. It's not an ocean. It's amazing. They want the Oval Office move on, but they can't. They just cannot let it go. It's pretty amazing. N402KJY, down to Mr. Frank, with the new Golf Media Oscar. Mr. Frank, this is KJY.
Okay, I'm still here. W2GIO, hold on. Just have to move over to where my iPad is. It's just that there is some news about there's a gang of people out in Long Island called the Sea Pocket Patriots, and they are out and about on the countryside trying to push back against the wearing a mask and all of this, and opening up also the New York State, and so they went away to protest, and there was somebody, a reporter, that was doing a live report on Facebook, and apparently, naturally, what happens with these. With these protests, with what these folks were doing, these people from these Sea Pocket Patriots, and you got some of the bad people got mixed in there, and they started harassing this news person, and it turns out that the Sea Pocket Patriots issued an apology, saying, "Hey, news person. The people that were harassing you were not one of us. They were instigators that somehow got involved or got into the collection of us people there, and they're the ones that causing the problem," which is no new news. This kind of stuff is going on. So anyhow, that was... So there's a group, again, out in Long Island trying to straighten things out and get the New York State opened up. Hey, the other thing is, there was an article about a zip code in California, 90210, which is Beverly Hills. And apparently Beverly Hills was a very strong area for Trump Trump won that area in California. They were heavy Trump supporters. Well, in that town was a company that had provided safe deposit boxes. And so a bunch of people walk over in that area, and they were making use of this safe deposit boxes. Well, it turns out that the FBI decided that they had a reason to go in and grab 1,000 safe deposit boxes out of that company, and somehow they got authorization to go and do this, but apparently it was really flimsy. But they did it anyhow. And so the FBI has collected 1,000 safe deposit boxes from people from that zip code. And it looks like it's another way of harassing people that voted for Trump. And they were, they were people that were pretty well off. And they were things that being targeted. So, anyway, some craziness that's going on. And, I'm gonna make this my last transmission because it's time for me to go to bed, and I gotta get up and say some prayers tomorrow morning and for this country. So I'm gonna wish you some good news. I always like to leave with good news, and that is that God loves us, and that is good news. Back to you, Bob. W2GIO.
All righty, Frank. Thank you for joining us for two rounds. God bless you. Thank you for praying for America. We definitely need it, and hopefully we can get this country back in order. It would be nice. W2GIO, KHOI. I've got three listeners, but one of them is, of course, Chris, and he says, okay, I've got a comment. Rachel Levin would like to remind everyone that this Mental Health Awareness Month. Ha ha ha. And then his other comment was, NIH sponsored the gain-of-function study in Wuhan because it was banned in the U.S. prior to that. And Fauci had his fingers in that WIH fund. So that I remember seeing again on the tracker. Let me go down to Mr. Charles in Michigan. KTN, K-A-H-J-O-Y. KTN, KHOI. Mr. Charles, are you still with us? Nothing heard. Let me go to New York, to Bob. Kilo 2, light emitting diode. This is KHOI.
Hey, hello. Please check in. Kilo Quebec 4, Echo November.
I thought that was you, Reed. Good evening. Let me stop and check on one more person, and I'll be to you. Kilo 2 LED, Mr. Bob, are you with us, yes or no? Nothing heard. Let me jump to Mr. Moe, KD0RSA in Nebraska. Mr. Moe, how's the signal so far tonight? Over. I think Mr. Moe is having a hard time hearing us from out there in Nebraska. Well, Mr. Reed, I am to you. Kilo Quebec 4, Echo November in North Carolina. What do you say, Mr. Reed?
You're quick on the... Yeah, you recognize me. I've been listening, and I sit here, and I'm working on a little project, but... I like this apparatus. You're absorbing news. He's talking about all the... Oh, gosh, you had people with recordings. And the first one I heard was some pretty girl doctor that was wonderful. I said, oh, well, we got women on here, young ladies. But no, it's just a recording. But what she said,
and what y'all are talking about just you got my interest. And in the back of Democrats and the Biden bought off by China. And yeah, I've been soaking it in, so yeah, I like it. I just ran off. Y'all, I think I recognize you from Bobby Blackburn's net. And you know, I don't get on here but once a week, but I take that back. I get once a month. So, y'all, and I recognize Larry over in Knoxville, and he was talking, I'm going to cut it short, because there's a lot of stuff I want that irritates me, but I'll let y'all, thank you for letting me have turn. This is KQ4EN.
Well, you're very welcome, Reed. We're here every Saturday night and every Wednesday night. And yes, I am a Sunday night moderator for Down the Band on KB4ABJ's group. So you are correct. Your mind is working sharply. Thank you for joining us. And again, come back every Saturday night. We'd love to have you. With that being said, it's the 73 round. I'm going to go up to Mr. Jesse in the fraudulent state of Pennsylvania. KG4, CX to the D. What do you got for your final thoughts, Mr. Jesse?
Okay, well, Mr. Bob, good evening once again, and everyone else on the net. Good to hear everybody, and great signal there. Great comments all the way around. And let's see, for my final 73 round there, Mr. Bob, hard to say which article I wanted to pick. Something that's going to jerk your heart out, or something that's going to lift your spirits. So I'm going to say that I'd rather spirit here. This is KG4JXC, Jesse here out of the fraudulent state of Georgia, fraud state of Pennsylvania once again, and this is the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Well, checking news, this was actually Friday's news, but I think everybody should be aware that Trump announces locations of battleground states where he's going to hold his first four rallies. He's back. Yep, President Trump released his schedule for four campaign-style rallies in the four battleground states of Florida, Georgia, Ohio. Hey, that's where you're at, Bob. And North Carolina. He has held a rally since he stopped the steel rally on January 6th. Relatively soon, we'll be doing one in Florida, he says. We're going to be doing one in Ohio, and we're going to do one in Georgia. We're going to do one in North Carolina, at least. Well, announcing them very soon over the next week or two. And they think we'll probably start in Florida and Ohio to be the first two. So that should start very shortly soon. And kind of looking forward to it, because it's another good way to get under the installed government skin. And I'll leave it with that. Good to hear everybody else in there. However, to thank Mr. Bob KJOY for running the net, our net manager, IntroIRJ, Mr. Money, and his lovely wife, Ms. Laura, and to JCPS, as well as Mr. Vic, our founding father of W1 WTR. Thanks, Bob, and everybody else on here. I'll stand by till the bitter end, so Godspeed, all. And this is KG4ZXC. Back to you, Bob KHJOY, in the Saturday Night Liberty Net. Back to you.
All righty, well, how exciting, the state of Ohio. Any idea what city, or you don't know?
No big news on the physical location yet.
All right, well, that'll be exciting. I'll have to pay attention to that. Thank you. KG4ZXC, thank you for riding along with us and contributing. Mr. Flint in Michigan, KCH, Echo Hotel Romeo. What do you have for the final round? Over.
Well, Bob, I heard a gentleman on here earlier talking about that vaccine. Very animated.
experienced this today, and I've been doing this now for a week or two. I don't wear my mask anymore. And I will not do it. It's going to be it's a bunch of propaganda and it's coercion. And if I walk in somewhere, they tell me that I need to wear a mask, I'll tell them I have a health condition. If that's what it is, I'll tell them it's freedom. And also, I'm vaccinated. It's called an immune system. They can't even isolate this supposed COVID. I've been hearing a lot of that going on too. They can't even isolate it in the lab. So I think it's a scam, personally, honest with you. I don't even know if the COVID really even exists. If it does, I think it blown away in proportion. And my eyes, Fauci's got, he's guilty for murder. Saying that hydroxychloroquine does not work, a lot of people could have been treated for it, with it, for COVID, and they'd still be alive today. And soon as Trump isn't in the office, I gotta say, they make their good old boy look good. Joe Biden, he's not the president, Joe Biden. And, they gotta make him look good for now to say, oh yeah, you know what, we're sorry, hydroxychloroquine does work. CDC, all they said is we're sorry. Well, guess what? That's a lawsuit. In my eyes, that's a lawsuit. Because you deliberately held the information from the public. And you assisted in the death of thousands and thousands of people. They knowingly and deliberately did that just to play politics. No wrong. So we are not taking a bad game. They don't even know that. And I already have. I'm already vaccinated, like I said, I have Indian system. So, with that, wish everybody a wonderful night. 73 and God bless all the way around. Back over to Met Control. Wonderful Met tonight, Bob. Thank you very much. 73, God bless. This is ACADHR.
All righty, Clint, thank you for joining us. ACADHR. And, in Ohio, June 2nd, the masks are done. Pretty much downtown Cleveland, I was down there on Friday night, and nobody was wearing the mask on the street or in the restaurants. So it's pretty much petering out in Ohio, thank goodness. But we have a lottery. We are, if you're vaccinated, you get to put your name in a lottery, and the governor's giving away five $1 million prizes. But it's money that was slated for COVID relief. So there's all kinds of stuff about that. So we'll see how that works out. Kind of amazing. All righty, Mr. Russell, I'm back to you. KK4WX-K8JOY. What are your final thoughts, Russ? KK4WX-K8JOY. Nothing heard. Let me go to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, I had quite a few check-ins tonight. I hope that continues on as a indication of what the summer's going to be like. The signals are holding up. Well, anyway, I got a story here. This has got to be take the geek as the top of the rotten Democrat story of at least the last month. I mean, there's a lot of them, but this one's amazing. All right, here it is. Rochester mayor vowed to take illegal guns off the street. Police just found one in her home. Rochester, New York Mayor Lovely Warren is a typical Democrat politician when it comes to gun control. She complained about the number of illegal guns on the streets of the city, supported the state's draconian gun control laws, and even announced a gun buyback, claiming once again that getting guns off the street must be our priority. Turns out Warren should have been more concerned about illegally possessed guns in her own home. On Wednesday, the New York State Police raided home that Warren shares with her husband, Timothy Granison, and allegedly discovered him to be in possession of 31 grams of cocaine, as well as a firearm, which is a no-no, since Granison was convicted of armed robbery 24 years ago. So she's married to convicted felon and a drug dealer. According to the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, Granison is one of seven people arrested as part of an ongoing drug investigation that's been going on for months. New York State Police stopped Granison's vehicle Wednesday afternoon on Birch Crescent in Rochester, and cocaine was found inside his car, said New York State Police Major Barry Chase. On Wednesday evening, the New York State Police conducted a search at the home that Warren and Granison share at 93 Woodman Park. New York State Police on Wednesday and Thursday executed search warrants at seven locations within the city limits, including Mayor Warren's home. More than 2 kilos of powder and crack cocaine were recovered, as were 3 firearms and a semi-automatic rifle and more than $100,000 in cash, said Dorley. One unregistered handgun, a loaded magazine, and a semi-automatic rifle were recovered from the mayor's house, New York State Police Major Barry Chase said. It's not yet clear if the rifle was illegal. For the moment, the only gun charge that Granison faces is possession of an unregistered firearm, though his felony conviction back in the 1990s makes him ineligible to legally own a firearm, regardless of whether or not it's registered with the state of New York as required under the terms of the state's draconian SAFE Act during a court hearing on Thursday. Granison pleaded not guilty to the drug and gun charges, and so far his wife has been silent about his arrest and the guns found in the couple's home. Well, I understand the law, and there's been cases where people have been sent to jail for this. It's a 10-year sentence for a felon to own or be in the possession of a gun. And there's been people that have been sent to jail for that. It says, in the past, however, Warren's been a vocal supporter of the SAFE Act and other restrictions on legal gun owners in the state, even as she sought to cut the Rochester Police Department's budget amidst the sharp increase in violent crime in the city. Last August, she even lauded the Rochester PD for confiscating hundreds of guns and vowed to keep up the pressure against those possessing them illegally. Well, anyway, I guess she should have been looking at her husband, because he had illegal guns. Plus, it looks like he was part of a cocaine ring, in addition to being a convicted felon. So this is the kind of people the Democrats elect in Rochester, New York. This lovely Warren. I guess they're not to blame, because they're probably under the control of white supremacists somewhere, probably the ones in Rochester or New York State.
We don't get.
But anyway, so there you go, Bob. And 73's to everyone on the net. Good to have some additional check-ins tonight. And we'll see y'all Wednesday night. Thanks for running the net, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. Well, I'm going to have to look up that article about that Rochester mayor. That's pretty good. Apparently, she forgot to to look at her own backyard. All that drugs and a firearm, he's not allowed to be in the vicinity of it since he's convicted, so that'll be good. But of course, do as we say, not as we do, right?
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, that story's on Zero Heads. You can probably find it in 30 seconds. Yeah, she's married a convicted felon and a drug dealer and had illegal guns in her house. Yeah, that's a standard fare for a Democrat.
How amazing. All righty, Bill. Thank you for all of your articles, your contribution tonight. Appreciate it. We only got two more to go, so hang around. KO4FE, KAHLY, down to Mr. Larry in Tennessee, N4ROQ, KAHLY. What are your final thoughts, Mr. Larry?
All right. Thanks, Bob. There's an article on the China delayed space mission. China, like the USA today, postponed its supply mission to its new space station. All that money we sent over to China, they didn't use their space station to help us point toward us, buying up all of the land and their farms here
newspapers, they don't have any evidence, and they don't have a
have documents on that, but they won't look at it. The county hired several firms to conduct the audit led by Cyber Ninja, that former Florida-based firm, had no election experience between 2020 and then led by Trump supporters who promoted election conspiracy. I don't know about that. The audit should not, will not change the outcome of the election, but many Trump supporters have been released from the regime in other battleground states and turn up evidence to show that Joe Biden's victory was illegitimate. Prince claims the fruitless attempt to further Trump's narrative about the 2020 election and will diminish faith in the Democratic process. I have grave concerns regarding the security and integrity of these machines. Bob Drake of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, which is controlled by Republicans at this time. Okay, NCIS News 5A.
Okay, previous
initiate projects and show a warming tide of Putin. The Chinese leader exiled Japan, his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin joined Woodward Complex to initiate a series of nuclear energy projects. And then it finished to destroy a warming tower between two nations that have paired up a chief geopolitical rival, the United States. Exile and Putin greeted each other by video link and announced the start of construction of Russian-designed reactors at China's Tianwen and Xuzhou nuclear plant.
Warning! Warning!
To be completed by 2026 and 2028.
How many power plants have we been working on?
Under Biden. All he knows is electric power and windmills and electric cars. Heartbeat abortion ban now Texas law. That's from USA Today, Associated Press, Austin, Texas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott. If you want to see a great governor, this Greg Abbott in Texas is a great governor. He on Wednesday signed the law that bans abortion in Texas before many women ever know they are pregnant. It's different from the similar efforts nationwide. This is, of course, a liberal Democrat that wrote this. It says leaving the enforcement to private citizens who can sue doctors or anyone to help the woman get an abortion. The law puts Texas in line with other states that can ban abortion with after a fetal heartbeat can be detected. Possibly as early as 6 weeks. It would take effect in September, but federal courts have mostly blocked states from enforcing similar measures. Will the Supreme Court this week agree to take up a Mississippi law banning abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy? Abortion rights activists worry that a ruling favorable for the state could lay the groundwork for allowing even more restrictions, including so-called heartbeat bills. Texas version is unique in that it prohibits state officials from enforcing the ban. Instead, it allows anyone to sue abortion providers or anyone else who may have helped someone getting abortion after the limit. So, all right, let's see. Bob, we'll just stop it right there. I just want to say one more thing about this Colonial Pipeline. $4.4 million to hack. What does that say about these hackers? Is that going to stop them from hacking more, or is that going to help them right along? The operator of the nation's largest fuel pipeline said it cost $4.4 million to a gang of hackers that broke into the computer system. Twitter's reviews in the Wall Street Journal. Colonial Pipeline CEO Joseph Blunt told the Journal he authorized the payment after the May 7th ransomware attack because the company didn't know the extent of the damage and wasn't sure
They've got technicians, they've got the software, they got all that stuff, don't have any burning. Oh, it delivers 45% of gasoline on the East Coast. Holds a fuel supply for nearly a week.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOY. Isn't it kind of amazing, though, now this pipeline is back up, but our gasoline in Ohio is about $3 a gallon, $2.99, just in time for Memorial Day.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's going to stay up for a while. Yeah, it could be engineered by the Socialist Democrats. They don't like the cars. I don't care anything about the gas automobiles. The EPA crew that they've got, they want to ban them. So just watch out for more events in Florida.
Yep, that's a true statement. All righty, Larry, thank you for being with us tonight, bringing those good topics in for ROQ. And last on my list is Mr. Reed, KQ4, Echo November. Mr. Reed, your final thought.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I don't know what to say, but I've been listening, and I bought some stuff on Amazon, and I'll tell you about my stuff I bought on Amazon. I want to make a amplifier for my headphones. My computer doesn't quite get it, and so I got an Altoid pin. I bought two Altoid containers, and I'm making I got a marker, and I'm putting I think I got all the parts. I got an op amp, and I got the breadboard, and you can put all that stuff in it. Have y'all ever done electronics project? So that's what I'm doing, and I'm sitting here listening, and yeah, it's kind of neat. I'm so tore up over the Democrats. They're trying to run a country, but I only have 20 more years to live. I'm a senior. I'm 60 years old. No. Anyway, I'm not gonna go in. I talk to you. Y'all guys are great. I love listening to you. So, hey Larry, hey John, hey everybody. Hey, never mind. KQ4EN, Knoxville, North Carolina.
All righty, Reed. Thanks for running along with us. It's tomorrow night. I'll be down the band at 9 p.m., so if you're available, come on down and join me down there. I'll look forward to it. So, KQ4, Echo November, signed KHOY. With that being said, I'm going to close the door. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy soldiers that are possibly listening. And 73 to tonight's Liberty Netters that are absent, Mr. Victor, our founder, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, our control, QIRJ, Miss Laura, who puts up with Mr. Marty, N2JTT, as they are not with us tonight in the transmit mode. It is my prayer for God to bless this great America. God bless each and every one of you. Hopefully your Sunday will be great. This is KAHJOY with a great Liberty Net. I'm clear.
My pleasure.
Great job, Bob.